27 Sunday, Year C, Ordinary Time. The first reading from the prophet Amos, chapter 6, verses 1a and 4 to 7. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion, and to those who feel secure on the mountain of Samaria. Woe to those who lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their cushions and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the midst of the stall, who sing idol songs to the sound of the harp and lie David in vain for themselves instruments of music, who drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, they shall now be the first of those to go into exile, and the revelry of those who shed themselves shall pass away. The second reading from the first letter to Timothy, chapter 6, verses 11 to 16. But out of you, man of God, shun all this, aim at righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you make the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate make the good confession, I charge you to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it will be made manifest at the proper time by the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man had ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, full of sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the doctor came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And beside all this, between earth and you, a red sharp had been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to earth. And he said, then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. She said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, little will they be convinced if someone who rises from the dead. Sharing of the reading. First, the theme. We must know how to manage God gives for us. The lesson about how to properly use money is important for our life, because so many people in the world and through generations do not know this lesson. The reasons for their ignorance are many. They fall into the devil's temptation and cause many dangerous results for them, their family, society, and the church, both in this and the next life. Today's readings are necessary for us to learn and to reflect, and then to draw out concrete conclusions in using money and in educating those whom we are responsible for. In the first reading, the prophet Amos forewarned kings and leaders of the Israel kingdom about the true sin which they committed. They misused of power in squandering public money for their luxurious lifestyle instead of helping people to have enough food to eat. And they didn't fulfill their duty of educating people to know God. In the second reading, St. Paul advised Timothy, his disciple, to avoid all temptations caused by the greed for money and to use time to acquire needed virtues which are necessary for the eternal life which God shall give for the faithful on Christ's glorious second coming. In the Gospel, Jesus gave people the parable of a rich man and Lazarus, a poor man, to remind people to know how to live this life to achieve the eternal life, because the next life shall be opposite with what happened in the present life. Second analysis. First reading. Woe to those who drink wine in bowls and anointing themselves with finest oil, but are not ribbed over the ruin of Joseph. Third point, rich people do worthless things. The prophet Amos wrote these stern words in Israel for the king and his leader in both Israel and Judah kingdom, when the two kingdoms aren't lost and on exile yet. Amotroth. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion, and to those who feel secure on the mountain of Samaria. Zion is the capital of Judah kingdom, and Samaria of the Israel kingdom. The kings and the leaders of Judah might think that they have Jerusalem temple, God's dwelling place, so that no power can destroy God's house. The king and the leaders of Israel might think the same, because God ordered to separate the country in two parts, and they also have God's temple at Bethel to protect them. They thought that their nation shall continue to be protected by God, so they could enjoy their richness. Amos accused them two things. First, they view their richness on useless things. A bed is used for sleeping or rest. People only need to have a frame and a mattress. It is not necessary for them to be made from ivory, nor precious wood, nor pearl. All these things are viewed by the rich to show their richness. According to Jewish custom, a lamb or a calf is killed to offer a sacrifice or to welcome a special guest, not to be done daily. Second, they waited their time for enjoyment. When people have material things more than they need, they shall view them for useless things. Instead of using their time to educate and to govern people, the leaders sing idle songs to the sound of the harp, and like David, invent for themselves instruments of music, who they drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils. They wanted to use these things to display the richness of their kingdom. Second point. They are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. The prophet Amos viewed the ruin of Joseph to indicate the destruction of both kingdoms. Some commentators said it is only implied the northern kingdom because of the two biggest tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh, are Joseph's children. According to Amos, two biggest sins of the king and leaders violated against God are, first, forsaking God. The king and the leaders chased after the richness and forsook God. They no longer thought of God's teaching, because if they do, they shall not act as such. Second, social injustice. Richness often relates to social injustice. Amos listed out some social injustice in the previous chapter, such as misusing public funds for individual things, bribery, using power to steal the poor property, etc. Amos' prophecy was fulfilled in the year of 721 BC, when the Assyrians invaded and destroyed the northern kingdom. The king and the leader shall now be the first of those to go into exile, and the rivalry of those who stretched themselves shall pass away. The southern kingdom lasted a little longer, but were also invaded and destroyed by the Babylonians in the year of 587 BC. the king and all the leaders are the first ones on exile. Second reading. Keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. The third point. The lifestyle of Christ's disciple. St. Paul called Timothy his disciple with a dignified title, Man of God. In the Old Testament, Moses and the prophets are called Man of God. Paul's purpose in calling Timothy with the title is to advise him to live according to it. The man of God must live a lifestyle different with men of the world. Paul listed out what Timothy must do. First, shun all this. Based on what St. Paul wrote in the revered passage, all these are the worry about worldly things and the forsaking God to chase after the allurement of richness. Second, acquire virtue. St. Paul listed out all the necessary virtues such as righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. If the faithful are not influenced by the allurement of richness, they shall have wisdom and time to learn and to acquire virtues according to God's requirements. Third, fight the good fight of the faith and take hold of the eternal life. The eternal life is the most important reason which the faithful must always remember that they are called to reach it. St. Paul might want to remind Timothy of his profession when he was baptized, which are to renounce the devil and all his temptation, and at the same time, to believe in God and the eternal life. St. Paul also gave Timothy an exemplar to follow, that is, Jesus Christ. He courageously acclaimed that he is the King of the Jews, though this claim shall bring him the death penalty. Fourth, keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach. The faithful not only know their ultimate goal, but they also know the way how to reach this goal by keeping God's commandments. By living according to God's commandment, they live a perfect life, free of all the reproach. Second point, Christ shall appear again to reward the eternal life. Paul also reminded Timothy two very important things of the Catholic faith. First, Christ shall return to the people. All people must answer to him what they did during their time living in this world. Secondly, God is the only one whom all people must orient their life to, not power, nor material thing, nor anything else. Third, the gospel. The results of the two opposite lifestyles. First, the present life. The different. Third, the indifference of the rich man. Loathing are used to keep people warm or to cover their nakedness. Why the poor have not enough clothing to wear, the rich man were clothed in purple and fine linen. Food helps people to protect their life. Why the poor can afford a full meal, the rich man feasts sumptuously every day. Second, Lazarus suffered life. He suffered a lot, but firmly believed in God's providence. He not only poor, but also endured painful sores in his body. St. Luke reported Lazarus' suffering indeed was. At his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, full of sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. According to the passage, we can recognize the choosing of the rich man. First, he is indifferent with the needs of others. Lazarus lies in front of his door. He must saw Lazarus when he got in and out of his house. But he chose to be indifferent and insensible to the needs of others. Secondly, he did not think about next life and paid no attention to God's teaching. If he did, he shall not act as such. Second point, the next life. Everybody must die. So Jesus continued the story. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. What happens in the next life is totally opposite with the present life. First, the rich man. He never concerned about Lazarus' hungry and painful disease, never gave him even a piece of bread, now asked for his help. Father Abraham, have mercy upon me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. He did not know what Jesus wants, people. The measure you give will be the measure you get. See Mark chapter 4, verse 24. Second, Lazarus. Lazarus is called Eleazar in Hebrew, meaning God is my hope. Abraham explained clearly about the results of the true lifestyle for the rich man and Lazarus. Son, remember that you in your lifetime received your good thing, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And beside all this, between us and you, a red chap had been fixed in order that those who would part from here to you may not be able, and none may rush from there to us. The third point, how to treat people indifferent. The rich man still remembers his brothers who are still living. So he said to Abraham, then I beg you, father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, let they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, little will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. This must be a serious warning for the indifferent people. It is not by witnessing a miracle or seeing a person coming back from the dead that helps people to change their life. People must spend time to learn and to understand Moses and the prophets' teachings before they can apply them into their daily life. The indifference will not be healed by miracles, but by learning and living according to the truth. Application in life. God gives material things for people to use. We should not be selfish to use them only for ourselves and our family, having no concern for people around us. We should have a loving concern for all, especially for the poor. To help them is to help God Himself. We should practice having compassion for others and educate our children to do the same. If not, our hearts shall become a stone, and we shall have no compassion for others. Such a heart shall cause many damages for us and others. God does not punish wickedness. Little he advertises poverty. What he wants is to teach people to wisely administer his gifts, to bring benefits for all people in this life and the life to come. Amen.